Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. Do you remember the first time you heard about the second coming of Christ? I do. I was 7 years old, sitting in the basement of my Lutheran church in Omaha. We had a second grade Sunday school teacher who was kind of strange. She came to class with different hair colors and just kind of a different woman, as I remember. But God bless her. I remember her teaching that on the last day, God would come down in the clouds to end the world. And I thought, wow. I'm grateful I attended a church that taught the second coming of Christ. Later, I'm in high school, and my buddy Dana attended the very liberal United Church of Christ down the street. And I remember I'm talking to him one day about, you know, when Jesus comes back, and he says, what? Well, you know, when Jesus returns, you mean Jesus is coming back? He had never heard that in his liberal congregational church. Well, just in case someone is watching this show and you've never heard what's going to happen at the end of time, would you take out a Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 17, and let's learn what will happen on the great last day. Luke chapter 17, let's pray first. Father, we want to pray that everyone listening to this program would come to an understanding about what will happen at the end. And Lord, please make sure each of us is ready for that day by trusting in Christ, by turning from sin. Lord, speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Here we go. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, Jesus answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." And I think Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, "You're looking for the kingdom of God? Well, here I am. I am the kingdom of God." And I say this because earlier in Luke chapter 11, Jesus said to the same Pharisees, "If I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come," past tense, "upon you." So the kingdom of God will happen at the end of time, but in the person of Jesus, the kingdom of God has already shown up. So here's the first lesson I want you to get today. When people are curious about the second coming, like the Pharisees here, make sure they know Jesus. I'm guessing if I went to your church and said to your people, "What one book of the Bible would you like to study this year?" I'm guessing most people would say the book of Revelation, because everybody, unbelievers included, are interested in what does the Bible say about the end times. And you know what I would say to those people? "Okay, we'll talk about that. But before we talk about how the world's going to end, do you know Jesus? Do you know what he's done to save you from the coming wrath?" This Left Behind book series has sold gazillions, and now they got movie series on this stuff. Okay, I don't agree with some of the stuff in those books. We can talk about the end, but the main thing is we need to know Jesus. Look at verse 22. "And Jesus said to the disciples, 'The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it.'" Here's the next lesson. It's good to long for the second coming. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come," you are longing for the second coming of Christ. And you know, even before the New Testament was completed, the early Christians were longing for the second coming. In fact, do you know what the last words of the Bible are from Revelation 22? "Come, Lord Jesus." So when you get tired of life, it's okay to longing for the second coming. I like to sing that old gospel hymn now and then. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure and my hope lie far beyond the blue, where many Christian children have traveled on before. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have a Savior there in that great glory land. I don't expect to stop until I take His hand. I know He'll let me in, though I am weak and poor. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. It's okay. It's good to yearn for the second coming. Verse 23. They will say to you, look there, or look here. Do not go away, and do not run after them. Here's the next lesson. There will be Christ sightings. Don't believe it. You know, just like you're standing in the line at the grocery store, and here's National Enquirer in your face, Elvis sighting. Well, there will be people who claim to have Christ sightings right before the end. Don't believe it. I was talking years ago with members of the Unification Church of the Reverend Sung Myung Moon, the Moonies. They believe that the Reverend Moon is the second coming. Moon was born in 1920 in Korea, and he was the second coming. And I said to the Moonies, he can't be. And let me explain why. And here's the verse, the next verse, Luke 17:24. For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will be the Son of Man in His day. And I said, that's the next lesson. The second coming will be very public. And I said to the Unification Church people, unless the Reverend Moon floats down in the sky for every eye to see, he's a $3 bill. And you know, now the Reverend Moon is dead. Second coming will be very public. You're not going to go in a corner and try to find him. You know, I had a confirmation student say, well, Pastor Brock, at the second coming, when Jesus comes back, what town will he be born in? I said, that's not the way. The first time he came, he was born in Bethlehem. When he comes down at the second time, it's not going to be born on earth. He's going to come down in the power and glory of the angels and the clouds, and every eye will see him. Verse 25. But first he, Jesus, must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Here's the next lesson. The world will be oblivious to the second coming. Just like the people of Noah's day had no idea that the flood was coming, so people in our day or at the end of time, they're just going to be living life, getting married, etc., not having a clue that the end is near. You know, I will tell you this. I went sightseeing in downtown Chicago. And you know, there, you walk in downtown Chicago, the sidewalks are filled with people. And I'm walking down the street, and I'm getting kind of depressed. And I'm thinking, all this sea of humanity, you know, how many of these people know God, know Jesus? And I turned the corner, and here's a man with a microphone preaching on the street corner. And so I thought I'd stop and listen. He was good. He wasn't yelling at people. He wasn't a kook. He was preaching humbly. He was preaching Christ crucified. And I just stood there and I prayed, thank you, God. A little bright spot in dark Chicago. You know, you could tell most people thought he was a kook, or they just quickly walked by. That's the way it's going to be at the end of the age, that there will be warnings, but most people will just walk on by and not have a clue. Verse 28. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planning, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Here's the next lesson. The second coming means destruction for the world. Look at all the imagery here in these few verses. Verse 24, lightning. Verse 27, flood. Verse 29, fire and brimstone. Coming up in verse 37, vultures. The second coming is great news for us Christians, but for the world, it means destruction. Verse 30, it will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. In other words, during Noah's day and during Sodom's day, they didn't have a clue they were about to be destroyed. That's what will happen on the last day on earth. So here's the next lesson. Don't assume you will have time to repent. It's going to be sudden. Here's a teenage girl that says, well, you know, Pastor, I know what you're saying is true, and I will become a Christian someday, but first I want to have fun. And I said to her, you don't know when you're going to die. You could die like this in a car accident. There's an old saying, he who waits till midnight to repent often dies at 11:30. Let me repeat that. He who waits till midnight to repent often dies at 11:30. You know, I was so grieved this week. Here's a man I know who lived the homosexual lifestyle for years, came to Christ, repented, had a wonderful Christian ministry. He was a gospel singer. Well, I discovered this week he's gone back to homosexuality and he's left his ministry behind, and it just grieved me. And I got on my knees this week and I prayed for him. You pray for him too, but we have to be ready to go at any moment. Verse 31. On that day, the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down to take them out. And likewise, the one who is in the field must not turn back. The picture here is Jesus is coming down in the clouds and some people run into their house to get their goods. And it doesn't work that way. I mean, I saw a funny cartoon of a man with his car standing in front of the pearly gates, and St. Peter says, okay, your car can come in. Well, it doesn't work that way. So here's the next lesson, and let me quote Corrie ten Boom. Quote, I have learned to hold everything God gives me loosely so it doesn't hurt so bad when he takes it away. That's a great quote. I've learned to hold everything God gives me loosely so it doesn't hurt so much when he takes them away. So the next lesson is hold your possessions loosely. Be living right now for the Lord. You know, don't be too excited about your snowmobile or your new rifle or your China collection or your next vacation. Hold everything loosely so if he takes it away, it's no big deal. So that if Jesus comes down, you're not going to be running in the house to get the snowmobile because your treasure is there, not in the house. The worst place right now to be a Christian is North Korea. And there are Christians there who have learned they have to hold everything loosely, including their life. Listen to this. This is hard to listen to, but please listen to this. North Korea has created a reign of terror to crush religious belief that might challenge the godlike authority of leader Kim Jong-il. The mere possession of a Bible can bring the death sentence. Five Christian church leaders were executed by being run over by a steamroller in front of the crowd of spectators. The underground church leaders were told, if you abandon religion and serve only Kim Jong-il and Kim Il-sung, you will not be killed. None of the five said a word. Some of the fellow parishioners who were assembled to watch the execution cried, screamed out, or fainted when the skulls made a popping sound as they were crushed beneath the steamroller. The country's official histories claim that when Kim Jong-il was born on Mount Paekgu, a sacred mountain, a double rainbow appeared in the sky along with a single bright star to herald his birth. North Korean newspapers have printed stories claiming North Korean sailors have been saved at sea during terrible storms by simply gathering on the deck to sing the praises of Kim Il-sung. Pray for the Christians in North Korea. Christians, we in America need to hold all our possessions loosely and be ready to die for Christ if it comes. Verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Next lesson, don't look back. You probably know this story. 2000 BC, the angel says to Lot and his family, get out of Sodom and don't look back. And they run out of Sodom before it's destroyed, but his wife kind of looks over her shoulder and turns into a pillar of salt. The point being, when it comes to your old life, your old sin life, do everything you can not to look back. I know someone who was sober for 16 years, but he still went to his AA meeting every Friday night because he knew if he didn't, he'd be in trouble. That was his way of making sure he didn't look back. The next lesson is a sad lesson, verse 33. Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you that on that night there will be two in one bed. One will be taken, and the other will be left. There will be two women grinding at the same place. One will be taken, and the other will be left. Here's the sad lesson. Salvation is personal. Families will be separated. A husband and wife are in bed. One is caught up to salvation. The other is left for judgment. Much as we dearly want our loved ones to be saved, and I pray for my unsaved loved ones a lot, at the end of the day, there's no guarantee, because Jesus says here that in one bed, one person will be taken and the other left. You know, keep praying for your relatives, but your wife's faith will not save you. If your mom and dad are strong Christians, that won't save you. I had a heartbreaking thing happen. A dad tells me, my son comes home from college and announces to mom and me, I'm gay. And he said, I pleaded with my son. On Judgment Day, when your mom and I and your sisters go into heaven, 1 Corinthians 6 says, if you get into that lifestyle and never repent, you're going to hell. And then they brought me into the picture, and I pleaded with the young man. Pray for this young man. But, you know, your parents' faith will not get you into heaven. You yourself have to know Jesus. And you know, can I tell you what burns me? You know who told that young college student that gay sex is okay? Two Lutheran pastors. I'm a Lutheran pastor. I can't tell you how much that upsets me. Verse 37. One will be taken, one will be left. And answering, the disciples said to Jesus, where, Lord, will they be taken? And he said to them, where the body is, there also the vultures will be gathered. Now that's kind of an obscure verse. I know most scholars don't quite know what Jesus meant, but I'll tell you, I think the best guess what he meant. Here's the next lesson. Judgment comes upon the spiritually dead. Where the spiritually dead are gathered, that's when the vultures come and devour. In other words, that's going to happen on the last day. If you're spiritually dead toward God, you'll be devoured. But you know what? It happens already now. I looked at the statistics of the liberal churches that have abandoned Scripture. We're talking the ELCA Lutheran Church, the United Church of Christ, the Presbyterian Church in America. Excuse me, Presbyterian Church in America is a good church. The PCUSA Presbyterian Church is not. And also the Disciples of Christ, United Methodist Church. These churches have shrunk. Why? It's called the judgment of God. If you insist on spiritual deadness by abandoning Scripture, you're going to get the vultures come in. And these churches have lost millions of members. I mean, I also thought of France. Once upon a time, France was a very Catholic, very Christian nation. Everybody went to church. Almost nobody goes to church in France. And you know what's going on in France now? They have a violent Muslim problem. And I wonder if that's God saying, okay, France, you don't want me? You get Islam. Where the spiritually dead are gathered, that's where the vultures will gather. So let me summarize all this. I hope you've heard about the second coming of Christ. Just in case you haven't, here's what's going to happen. And when people are curious about the second coming, make sure they know Jesus first. It's good to long for the second coming. There will be fake Christ sightings. Don't believe it, because when he comes down, he's coming down in the clouds for everyone to see. It'll be very public, but the world will be oblivious before that happens. The second coming does mean destruction for the world. Don't assume you'll have time to repent. Repent now, because you could die in 5 seconds. Hold your possessions loosely, because they're only going to be here for 5 minutes anyway. Don't look back. Whatever you need to do, join an AA group or get into a pornography addiction group or whatever you need to do not to look back, do it for the sake of your soul. Salvation is personal. Families will be separated on the last day, and know the judgment will come upon the spiritually dead. That's what will happen at the end of time. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we now ask Pastor Brock to share with us his knowledge of Scripture and his insights to answer questions we have regarding the Bible, our Lord, and our everyday walk with Him. Can we talk about end times and the Second Coming? There was a book series out called Left Behind, right?
Yeah.
And they did some movies, too. What do you think about that series?
You know, what's good about it is it got people to think about the end of time and the Second Coming of Christ. That's what's good about it. From my point of view, what's wrong with it, the authors of that book believe that Christians disappear and go to heaven 7 years before the Second Coming of Christ. It's called the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. I hope they're right, Jackie, because that would teach that Christians get to miss the bad stuff, the Antichrist, and all the awful stuff that'll happen. I just don't think it's biblical. I don't see anything in the Bible that says we leave before Jesus comes down. When Jesus comes down is when we're caught up, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But you know, Jackie, I had a lady write me, and I'm a false teacher because I don't believe in the rapture like she does. No, she's a Christian, I'm a Christian. What saves us is Christ on the cross, not what you believe about the rapture. I get nervous with these people that make the rapture like the doctrine of the Trinity. It's not.
Okay. I guess, do you think, Pastor Brock, that we are living in the end times?
I don't know if we're living at the very end. I wonder if we're living at the end of our culture. Jackie, I have never seen our nation go morally downhill as quick as I have these last few years with recreational marijuana now in Washington and Oregon. The president refuses to enforce the federal drug laws. With all of the gay states going for homosexual marriage now, with the filth you see on TV, and again, as always, abortion is everywhere. I don't know how long our nation will last. I don't know if we're at the end of the world, but we may be nearing the end of our nation as we know it.
That's scary, too.
It is enough, yeah.
It would be bad enough. I mean, looking at the end of the world means that we are going someplace else, but the nation then may not.
You'll have grandkids. My heart would break if I was a grandma.
So when Jesus warned us about false prophets and false Christs, what test do we put to whether somebody is false or real?
Yeah. Do they follow the Bible? Not do they follow the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Not do they follow the Bible and the Watchtower magazine, Jehovah's Witnesses. Do they follow the Bible, period? And the reason I think Mormons are a cult is because they add a book called the Book of Mormon that contradicts the written word of God, the Bible. Same with Jehovah's Witnesses. They deny that Jesus is God. They deny the teaching of one God and three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I think they're a cult. The Christian Science Church believes in the Bible and Mary Baker Eddy's Key to the Science and the Scriptures. They add the Jesus of Christian Science is kind of a New Age healer, but not the God-man that we believe in. And just because somebody says they believe in Jesus, you've got to ask, which Jesus? Define him for me. Mm-hmm. And if it's not that he's fully God and fully man, they don't have the New Testament Jesus.
Okay, Pastor Brock, I'm going to kind of go off the line here a little bit. When you said before about when Jesus comes down with the rapture for all to see, there's lots of dispute about how is that possible that all will see one person coming down at the same time.
And how is that? Because, you know,
and I have a thought on
go ahead.
I'd like to know what yours is.
Quickly, and then I'll hear yours. You know, if he comes down in the sky over China, will we see him over Minnesota, which is on the opposite side? You know, only the Lord knows how he's going to pull this off. I heard somebody say it'll be televised. Well, I don't know if that's the answer. But somehow, God who created the world will somehow figure out a way to make sure everybody sees Christ return.
Do you know, we were talking about this, my husband and I, because we heard a missionary that was making an appeal because they give cell phones out to everybody. And with this, they get apps that will give them Bible studies and things like that. And we were talking about children running around with cell phones now and the number of cell phones that are out there. Maybe God has a plan for cell phones to notify
us. Who knows? Yeah. Okay.
So, okay. Then my next question is, We live on the planet Earth. We know there are other entities out there. Mm-hmm. Will the planet Earth be totally destroyed, or will it be transformed?
Well, we know from, is it 1 Peter chapter 3 or 2 Peter chapter 3, all things will melt within 10 seed. The earth and the works upon it will be destroyed. And then you have also in Romans chapter 8, where it talks about, we know the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth to now, and that someday the creation itself will be set free. So, I mean, there's, and I don't know which is true. Either the world will be totally destroyed, and we do have a new heavens and a new earth, Revelation, 22, I think. Or somehow God will purify this earth, and somehow even this earth will be part of the new creation. I kind of lean toward this earth is going to go. But, you know, there are Christians, and the way they understand Scripture is, yes, it'll go, but it'll be transformed. So either one of those, I think, we could hold to and not be wrong.
Okay. We get to choose?
Well, I don't know about that. But
can we claim our loved ones for Christ and believe that God would save them for sure?
Yeah.
You know, talked about claiming.
I know. And, Jackie, I have 3 pages at home of people I pray for, friends, relatives. I've been praying for these people since I was about 20 years old, and I have claimed them for Christ. Now, can I really do that? I'm trusting God's going to save them, and many of those people he has saved. So I have faith God's going to save them. He has many of them, and I'm going to keep praying until I die. But Luke 17, Jesus says, one will be in bed and taken, the other will be left, that even family members will be separated on the last day. So ultimately, only God knows. My job is to pray for my loved ones, but ultimately, God will do what he does.
Pastor Brock, we only have 20 seconds left, and right now on the screen you're seeing our website. Check that out. You can watch any of our previous shows. You can send them to friends that maybe can't see this show. We're starting to branch out to a lot of different areas, so that's a good place to check. And we just want to thank you for supporting us and being with us. God bless until we're together again next time.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.